John says we're in Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll look at the first half of that. And we look at us, often wonder what the Christians in Ephesus were thinking when they got this letter. I've actually got the letter here. It's 5 pages long. And when they got that letter all those years ago, and they heard it was from Paul, their minds would go back because Paul had been to see them 12, 13 years before this. He'd preached, many had been saved, and he's established a church in Ephesus. But he's been away for 10 years, so their memory would fade a bit, but they'd be delighted, I would imagine, to hear that he's written to them. But he's written to them from a prison. So they have mixed emotions, I would guess. What are they thinking? Well, so far in Ephesians, we've learned a lot about the blessings we have in Christ. So they will have heard this in the letter, because I imagine that letter, they would have gathered together in a church and someone would have read the letter out. That's what would happen. So they'd be listening intently, and they've heard so far that all these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And then they would look around and think, well, actually things are not ideal. There's still idolatry in the city. There's still this issue of Jew and Gentile. There's probably issues going on in each of their lives. So they would be taking it all in, but also thinking, well, in practice, I'm not seeing that. And Paul, you're writing to us from prison. So how can you tell us all these things when you're in prison? So there'd be, I suspect, that kind of train of thought going on. Because they've heard about the forgiveness, they've heard about the salvation they have, they've heard about the sealed by the Holy Spirit, the inheritance that they have in the Lord Jesus, being made alive in the last chapter when they were dead in sin. And they have peace with God and peace with each other. They've heard all this. But there's a confusion, I would suspect, in their minds, in that that doesn't always tie in with the reality of what's happening day to day. Can we relate to that a little bit? Yeah. That we hear the words, but it's difficult to actually see it in practice. Now, Paul wants to explain this to us in this next few verses. He starts off by saying, and I'll read this, the first 13 verses to us. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the work of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of any sufferings you have for me, which are for your glory. So when we see this, Paul, it's as if Paul, I've explained a lot, but he's sort of understanding where they might be. And he wants them to fully understand, because he's going on to pray in a minute for them. He's going to write down a prayer for them. But as this, he says, I want to just take an aside for a moment to make sure you fully understand what the big picture is, that you fully understand what is happening in life. you can call it parenthesis, whatever you want. But if you look at verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "For this reason, I, Paul." And if you go down to verse 14, it says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." So there's this bit in the middle where he's saying, right, before I pray, before I tell you what I'm praying for, do you really understand what's happening? I've given you lots of words in the letter so far, but I want you to understand what they really mean. And he starts by saying, well, yes, I am a prisoner. But I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew that where he was where God wanted him to be. He wasn't forced to be there because of Caesar or Nero. He was there because God placed him there in that situation. He also says, I'm a prisoner for you Gentiles. Well, he would be thinking back to incidents that happened when he went to Ephesus before. There was a riot. When he went to Jerusalem, he took a Gentile into the temple, and that caused all sorts of problems. So there's things happening. And he's looking back, and he's saying, it's because of you. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying it's for your glory that I'm actually in this prison. So I'm here because of my prisoner of the Lord Jesus, but I'm here for your sake as well. So Paul was able to see a big picture here of what's happening in his life. And he wants them to understand this big picture as well. When we look at our own situations in life, and we're all going through things which at times we think, well, this isn't how I planned it to be. This wasn't my intention. I never thought this was going to happen in my life. But they do happen. They happen constantly, don't they? And what Paul wants them to understand is, and us to understand today, is that when we go through that situation, God has placed us there. We need to understand that big picture. And we don't always understand it, do we? We sometimes see it as, well, I'm going through it and I'm really struggling with it, but I hope that as we go through the rest of these verses, we'll see by the end of it, there is a big picture. There is a reason behind everything that we go through. So Paul explores this in the next few verses, from verse 2 to verse 13. I just want to take us through these verses. First of all, he talks about the fact that he's a steward of God's grace. And he's a steward of someone who's given responsibility to look after something, to take ownership of something. And the thing he was asked to take ownership of was the mystery of Christ, the mystery that was going to be revealed. It had already partly been revealed. Now, many people, when Jesus came here, hadn't a clue what was going on. They didn't understand why Jesus was there. They still believed, if I do the right thing, remember the rich man who came and said, how can I inherit eternal life? He wanted to do all the right things. That was how he saw it happening. And that wasn't unusual. Nicodemus came. They all came with this, living by the law, doing the right thing. That's how I'm going to get eternal life. So people came, they didn't understand that Paul's now been given the stewardship of saying, well, you've got responsibility now to explain to these people what is really happening, what God's big plan is, what he's always intended. And in verse 6, it tells us what that plan is. In verse 6, it says, and these are lovely words, that this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. All together. Now, when I was younger, for many years, I went to the Keswick Convention. Now, I have to say that was frowned upon by some people. I enjoyed it. I used to go there, and the front of the tent, it had All One in Christ, big banner. And people came from different places, different denominations, all believing. And I thought that was a wonderful display of unity. And we see it here, don't we? The body of Christ, the family of Christ, that we are all one in Christ Jesus. And the mystery is that we are heirs together. We're not waiting for further revelation to come through. Some people go through life thinking, God's going to speak to me one day in a vision, and I'm going to hear more about what's really happening. That's not going to happen. It's been revealed to us. We know what God's plan is. We know the mystery that he's revealing to us. Paul's explaining it to us. He's come to do that for us. And when he talks about the gospel in verse 6, the gospel is what reveals the mystery. The gospel is what shows us that we were dead, but we're now alive. And we're united in Christ, and it's the start of the church. And God's got an amazing plan for us all to be together. And in practice, what they were suffering from was the Jew-Gentile situation. Unless I'm mistaken, we don't have that issue of many Jews coming in here and having to deal with that issue. What we do have, however, is perhaps a view of other Christians, which is not a healthy view. There are many people in the body of Christ who are going to be in heaven with us. And we must be guarded against the concept that we perhaps are doing it better than anybody else. We do it the way we believe it should be done, but we should not look down on other people. John mentioned last week, we shouldn't look down on non-Christians. Absolutely right. Equally, we mustn't look down on other Christians. We are all one in Christ. And it's a case of getting on with each other. How do we do that? Because, you know, some people are not easy to get on with. Yeah. Some people are quite difficult to love. But being part of that one body and accepting that we're all together without any differences in the sense that God has saved us and brought us into the situation. We also have to love one another, whether it be within the fellowship here or whether it be other Christians elsewhere. What saddens me is when I hear of families that don't speak to each other and they're Christians, or people that we don't particularly get on with, so we avoid them. Can I just say to you, stop it? Yeah. We have got to love one another. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. God is love. And God's love for everyone is unconditional. If we are not loving one another, we are quenching the Holy Spirit. We're squashing him down. We're not allowing him to work in our lives, and that's not right. So please. Paul goes on to talk about his attitude towards doing this. He says, I'm a servant, but I'm a servant that's not really worthy. I'm the least of all God's people. Yeah. When we serve, let's serve with humility. Service is a gift from God to us. It's not something that we are privileged and able to do and say, look at me, how good I am. No, it's about a gift from God. And we are privileged to be recipients of that gift because he has chosen us, just as he's chosen Paul to display this mystery. He has chosen us to be a part of that body of Christ. What a wonderful privilege. But let's do it with humility because none of us deserve it. We're here by the grace of God. And Paul would want us to understand that. In verses 10 and 11, he talks about this church, the church of God that we are part of. And it's amazing what this church has got to do. You know what he's chosen? He's chosen us to reveal the wisdom of God to other people. He could have chosen many ways of doing it. But he's chosen you and me in our humility to be a part of that body, that church. And we're going to show that to other people outside the church. And it tells us we'll show it to angels and demons. Every day, people are watching us. I speak to myself here. So when we have a critical nature, and when we talk about someone that we are in the church or whatever, and we become negative, people are watching us. People are listening to what we're saying. The angels and demons are watching us. And we are supposed to display God's wisdom to the world around us. That's what we're meant to do. So if we're not doing that because of our critical nature or whatever it might be, then we're not fulfilling what God wants us to do as a church. It's a challenge for us all, I think, because it's so easy to slip in that into that mode of complaining. And you go home from church, and we have lunch together, but in the old days you go home and have lunch, and the topic of conversation would be, what's happening in the church? You know, what did so-and-so say? It's so easy to do that. But God wants to display to everybody his wonders, his wisdom, to the angels, and to the rulers and authorities in this world as well. There are many people seeking to rule in this world. And we are a massive spiritual society or community. We are. You look at the USA and it's huge economically. It's nothing compared to what we are. It's a grain of dust against the sun. On May Day in Red Square, the Russians will display their armor and their troops in a great display of might. It's nothing compared with the Church of God. And nations, we see it happening down there, we're coming together to try and form alliances to have peace. They are nothing compared with what we are. We are the Church of God. We have eternal purposes, God's eternal purposes for us. And how important it is for us to do what he asks us to do. What a privilege. But we have to hang our heads in shame sometimes, don't we? How we sometimes let them down. So there's a big picture here, and Paul sees the big picture. The big picture is that God is revealing a mystery which results in a church of God, the body of Christ, which has been displayed to the world, and he's a part of it. So he's saying, well, yes, I'm in prison, but I'm where God wants me to be. Wherever you find yourself just now, and it might not be where you thought you would be, God has placed you there. And is there, you're there for a reason. You're there to display in your situation the wisdom of God. You will have people that you speak to that Pam and I don't speak to. We have 10 grandchildren. You don't know them. We know them. You will have family members that we don't know. You know them. You'll have people that you come across in work, in life. And God has placed you there. And God has placed you there with a purpose to show his wisdom to these people, to be a help to those people. Only you can do it. Only I can do it in that situation. And we need to see that big picture of why God has placed us where we are and remove the materialistic approach that we so naturally want to adopt and say, well, actually, I thought I'd have a better life than this. I might have more money. I thought things would work better. When we became Christians, that went away. We might still hang on to it, but let's be honest, we do. But it went away because what we've got now, the riches in Christ are so much more, and they cannot be taken away. And that's what Paul wants us to see, that when we go through life, wherever we are and whatever situation arises and it disturbs our thinking for a while, it's God's purpose. And we cannot lose those riches that are ours in Christ. We might lose some material things, but so what? They will go anyway. So don't lose heart over situations that we find ourselves in. We need to encourage one another in those situations. And encouraging and praying for one another is quite important. It's very important. But understanding how we encourage and how we pray is also important. Because if we say to somebody, I'm really sorry what's happening to you, so you must be so miserable, this is terrible, we're actually saying we don't believe that God's put them there. That's what we're saying. So we need to encourage by saying, I understand you're going through a difficult time, but God's in it. God is in control. And when we pray, we don't pray that they'll be released from a situation, but we pray that God will actually use them in that situation. Let me just close by saying that God uses each one of us, yeah? He loves each one of us. And let's pray that we will hear what you say to us this morning. Let's pray.